I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is February 23rd, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, an article written by P.C. Myers entitled, Kent Hovind Has Been Honored. Kent Hovind has been inducted into the Creation Science Hall of Fame, which is nothing but a website run by a crank. It seems a fitting honor. I was amused that half the write-up about him had to consist of making excuses for the fact that he's a jailbird. The Creation Science Hall of Fame believes that Kent is in jail out of principle, not deceit. This was taken from the crank's website. Quote, Kent Hovind is a tax protester. His is only one of many tax protests that Americans from time to time have lodged in the federal courts. Did Kent make mistakes during his attempt to prove his point? Yes, and he admits to them. None of us are perfect. What the judicial system calls tax crimes was an attempt to invalidate the tax structure. In America, at least, the simplest way to get standing to invalidate a law as unconstitutional is to break said law and suffer punishment for said breach. Kent Hovind gambled that he would find a righteous judge. He lost. And his experience bears witness to us all that our entire national judiciary is willing to accept disagreements on principle as illegal acts worthy of punishment. This is why the Creation Science Hall of Fame believes that Dr. Kent Hovind is in jail out of principle and not deceit, and that he should be honored, especially among the Christians who believe in a supernatural creation as described in Genesis by God. End of quote. PC's essay continues. Hovind cheated on his taxes and lied about it. He made efforts to conceal his income by making multiple bank withdrawals of less than $10,000 in order to avoid automatic reporting, and he also paid employees under the table to avoid having to pay taxes on that. He was not standing up for a principle. He was doing his damnedest to avoid getting caught lining his own greedy pockets. And now PC quotes from Wikipedia. On July 11, 2006, Hovind was charged in the District Court of Northern Florida in Pensacola with 12 counts of willful failure to collect, account for, and pay over federal income taxes and FICA taxes, 45 counts of knowingly structuring transactions in federally insured financial institutions to evade reporting requirements, and one count of corruptly endeavoring to obstruct and impede the administration of the Internal Revenue laws. 12 of the charges were for failing to pay employee-related taxes, totaling $473,818. And 45 of the charges were for evading reporting requirements by making multiple cash withdrawals just under the $10,000 reporting requirement, a technique known as smurfing. The withdrawals, totaling $430,500, were made in 2001 and 2002. Joe Delia Hovind, his wife, faced 44 charges. And that's the end of the Wikipedia article. PZ concludes by saying, Hovind and his wife were found guilty on all charges. Every single one. What follows are a series of comments. Here are some of the best comments I found in response to PZ's article. From PDX Greg. Now, if only we could stop the real tax crime of classifying contributions to religious organizations as charitable. The next comment comes from Kent Hovind's son, Eric Hovind, who writes, PZ, how you managed to write so much untruth, I don't know. But my father, Kent Hovind, did not cheat on his taxes, did not lie about it, and was not making withdrawals to hide anything. When you read the court transcript, you will discover that employees paid their own taxes. Kent did not even file income taxes, and claimed such the entire time, without lying about it. Just thought I would let you know the truth. even though I know it does not make any difference to you, as you will continue to tell it in your own way. The next comment is by Nerd of Redhead, who writes, "What your dad thought was irrelevant. He lied, he cheated, he bullshit like you do, and was convicted for his dishonesty, as it should be. Liars and cheats need to learn not to lie and cheat." And now my favorite comment from Janine. "Dear hallucinating liar," obviously referring to Kent's son, Eric Hoven. "Eric, care to tell us what a sovereign citizen is?" And she provided a link to a Wikipedia article on sovereign citizen. If you read that article, you will understand why this is my favorite comment. Now Eric Hoven comments again. "Always missing the point, aren't you? I never said that he did not have to pay taxes. I simply pointed out that he did not cheat or lie about them, as was stated in the post." Nerd of Redhead replies. First, she quotes Eric Hoven. "I simply pointed out that he did not cheat or lie about them, as was stated in the post." To which she replies, "Sorry, your evidenceless assertion is dismissed as utter fuckwittery. Same as your idiotic presuppositional argument for your imaginary deity. Your dad lied and cheated. That is, by not acknowledging and paying the taxes required of him. Prove otherwise with appropriate third-party evidence from legitimate sources outside of you and your dad's delusional opinions." The next comment comes from Hypatia's daughter. She also quotes Eric Hoven, "He did not cheat or lie." To which she replies, "So Eric, did he or didn't he make all his bank withdrawals under $10,000 to avoid the bank's legal reporting requirement? If he was trying to make a test case to challenge the tax laws, then having it come to the attention of the judicial system would be necessary, and he would not have tried to hide under the radar of the reporting requirement limit. Seems like cheating to me." Next comment is from Steph P., who says, "Well, Eric, some people call it lying when you claim to have no income while you do, or cheating when you withdraw $500,000 from your bank account in small amounts to keep the bank from reporting. Actually, most people see it this way. You don't. Is it because your dad is exempt from basic morals, not to mention the grand commandment?" I think she's referring to "thou shalt not steal." Next comment from Island Brewer, who begins by addressing Eric. "Hey, liar for Jesus, Junior. Your scum-sucking father intentionally didn't report income so he wouldn't have to pay taxes on it. He intentionally and knowingly avoided doing anything that might alert authorities that he was avoiding paying his taxes, which he owed. That is the very definition of lying and cheating. Your dad lied about owning property and intentionally obfuscated said ownership, proving your father is a lying sack of shit. He declared bankruptcy to avoid paying income tax, and his claims were found to be patently absurd, proving your father is also a cheating sack of shit. The IRS filed federal tax liens against you, Eric, and your father because all of your legal maneuverings, shifting property between you, your convicted felon father, and various third-party business holdings in order to lie and cheat the IRS out of rightfully owed taxes. Your father is a proven and convicted liar and cheater. But it's for Jesus, so it must be okay, right?" And now for my second favorite comment from Carly, who addresses Eric by saying, "When you have to A, set up a Google alert for your family's name. B, follow them all to each website to try and protest your family's innocence. And C, have to lie to do so. One would hope some introspection about how you got to this place in your life would occur." Next comment from Island Brewer, who addresses Eric. Eric, son of a lying and cheating convicted felon. I really like this bit I read. And he quotes a news report. Hovind's courtroom behavior was in stark contrast to phone calls he made while in jail and played by the prosecution. The tapes, posted online by the Pensacola News Journal, included one conversation with Kent and his son Eric Hovind, plotting to hide a motor vehicle title and property deeds to prevent the government from collecting the property to pay for owed debt. End of quote. The commenter continues, so, were you an accomplice to your lying and cheating father's lying and cheating, or was that a brother? Did you or he spend any time in prison as an accomplice like your mother did? Next comment from Natural Cynic. She quotes The Crank from his website. Kent Hovind gambled that he would find a righteous judge. He lost, and his experience bears witness to us all that our entire national judiciary is willing to accept disagreements on principle as illegal acts worthy of punishment. End of quote. Natural Cynic continues, that's the way it's supposed to be if you understand the principles of nonviolent protest, even if the protest is an honest one. Maybe I shouldn't expect a wingnut Christian to understand this. In a case of true protest against an unjust law, some people will be impressed and will make efforts to change the law. In your case, Kent, people will only derisively laugh at your amateur conniving. Another comment from Island Brewer. He says, come back, Eric. Your pithy and well-sighted retorts have almost converted me into believing in Jesus. You want me to come around to believing what you believe, or at least what you're selling, right? Just come back and play. Who knows? Maybe your remarkably intelligent, logical, and well-thought-out responses might open our atheist hearts. Please, don't be frightened away. The next comment is from Holy Tape. The Creationist Hall of Fame is just like the Football Hall of Fame, but instead of having a bust cast in bronze, you have your picture hot glue-gunned to a mound of steaming cow shit. Next commenter, Carly, who addresses Eric Hovind. Fine, Eric, we don't have to call him a cheater. Fraud works just as well. Also, thief. Now, Jayhawk comments. Jayhawk also quotes The Crank. In America, at least, the simplest way to get standing to invalidate a law as unconstitutional is to break said law and suffer punishment for said breach. End of quote. Jayhawk continues, this is pretty much irrelevant, but when it comes to taxes, the system has a built-in process where if you disagree, you can protest the taxes, which can lead to having standing to filing a court case. There is no need to break the law in order to have standing. But we know they are just trying to rationalize why he is in prison and still can be a good guy. But of course, in this case, the rationalization is complete bunkum. Now we hear from Doc Bill. As I recall, Kent Hovind pleaded subordination to false muster, which I think means he didn't recognize the government or the IRS as having jurisdiction over him. Also, on recollection, Hovind claimed that he didn't own any property nor received any compensation. Rather, it was all owned by the Lord. So, by that twisted logic, the U.S. of A. couldn't prosecute Hovind because Hovind didn't owe any taxes to the U.S. of A. I guess the Lord did. Take it up with him. Anyway, his defense didn't pass muster, nor did his specious claim of moving vast sums of money around in $9,000 batches, coincidentally under the reporting threshold. Sort of like gangsters being businessmen. Yeah, that sort of thing. And little Eric, so cute, a misdemeanor off the old felon if I ever saw one. However, all the cock-floppery aside, my main point was a report on NPR some years ago about rebuilding judicial system in Iraq. The American advisors were having a difficult time figuring out how to restructure the court system to be based on the rule of law. Under Iraqi law, the judge has the final say. The judge can bypass judicial process. ignore evidence, ban witnesses, and just about anything else. The judge is the judge. What the judge says goes whether it's legal or not. Ironically, many on the Christian right lament that they don't get Christian judges who would do the same thing. It's bizarre. We heard this during Kitzmiller when the creationists were jumping for joy because Judge Jones was such an upstanding Christian man. Whoops. Yes, Kent is such a good man. The law doesn't apply to him. Whoops. Now a quote from W.V. Jim. Maybe that's West Virginia Jim. I don't know. He quotes a previous commenter who had said he cheated on his taxes and lied about it. And Jim says, but to be fair, it doesn't do any good to cheat on your taxes if you're not going to lie about it. Just saying. Once again, we hear from Hypatia's daughter. Please shut off all irony meters to protect them from damage. One of Kent's whiniest shticks about evolution is that it is a religion being taught in schools funded by our taxes. Yes, he includes himself in that our. I have seen this complaint in his thesis, in his DVD series, and in some interviews he has given. Kent, honey, you didn't pay any taxes, so none of your taxes were being used to fund schools. Hovind claimed that he didn't own any property nor received any compensation. Rather, it was all owned by the Lord, leading me to conclude that the Lord is mad at Kent for not paying taxes, and the IRS is the earthly arm of his justice. What? That logic works for religious folk who steal land, imprison, torture, and kill in the name of God. Why can't the IRS be doing God's work? Next commenter is Paul Coddington, who also refers to the crank site. Amazing site. Completely unqualified board of directors. One with fake PhDs. Lots of recruiting of brilliant dead scientists who believed what they did on the evidence of their time and who may have well believed differently today. Especially interesting contrast between dead and living. The likes of Isaac Newton and James Clerk Maxwell on the one hand, and Ian Juby and Ken Ham on the other. What a difference a century or so makes. And the final quote from Colluvial. Now, if Kent had openly taken the money he owed in taxes and donated it to charity, that would have been principled. Stuffing one's own pockets, though, is greed, pure and simple. It doesn't matter how much you insist that those were God's pockets. Any attempt to conceal his actions dumps him squarely into the criminal category. If he acted no differently than a common criminal, what difference do post hoc rationalizations make? And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic. Scientists discover ways to optimize light sources for vision. Vision researchers at Barrow Neurological Institute have made a groundbreaking discovery into the optimization of light sources to human vision. By tuning lighting devices to work more efficiently with the human brain, researchers believe billions of dollars in energy costs could be saved. The paper is believed to be the first attempt to tune light-emitting devices to the optimal temporal dynamics of the human visual system. The discovery concerns the way humans perceive temporal modulations of light. For example, most light-emitting devices such as light bulbs, video monitors, and televisions flicker. Faster flicker rates result in reduced perception of flicker, which is more comfortable to viewers. In studying this phenomenon of the brain, researchers discover that there is a range of flicker dynamics of light that optimizes the perceived brightness of the light without increasing power. Researchers found a temporal sweet spot in visual perception that can be exploited to obtain significant savings by redesigning light-emitting devices to flicker with optimal dynamics to activate visual system neurons in the human brain. Researchers estimate that if every light-emitting device in the U.S., from light bulbs to cell phones, operated at optimal efficiency for the human visual system, it could result in billions of dollars of savings in electricity and power. To come to their conclusion, researchers conducted experiments into two contradictory theories of temporal visual perception, or how bright a light appears. Bloch's law states that a perceived contrast of a visual stimulus increases with its duration, but eventually plateaus at approximately 100 milliseconds. For example, a 5 millisecond flash will appear half as bright as a 10 millisecond flash, but a 200 millisecond flash will be just as bright as one of 400 milliseconds. The Broca-Sulzer effect, on the other hand, states that perceived contrast increases with duration initially, but then peaks and falls again. Researchers discovered that the discrepancy between Bloch's law and the Broca-Sulzer effect is caused by an intrinsic bias among experiment subjects, leading to dramatically skewed data. By improving their experimental design to overcome this bias, something that has never been before reported or intentionally controlled for, the results demonstrated that the temporal vision actually follows the Broca-Sulzer effect. So we have a winner. Researchers have been studying temporal vision for more than 125 years, but because this was the first experiment of its kind to control for all known forms of criteria, it is the first to accurately measure the role of temporal dynamics in brightness perception. Thus, the power savings are ripe for the picking, because scientists can adjust our lighting to flicker to take advantage of this peak in perception. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Frank Lloyd Wright, born 1867, died 1959 at the age of 91. Wright was an American architect, interior designer, writer, and educator, who designed more than 1,000 structures and completed 500 works. Wright believed in designing structures which were in harmony with humanity and its environment, a philosophy he called organic architecture. This philosophy was best exemplified by his design for Falling Water in 1935, which has been called the best all-time work of American architecture. Wright was a leader of the Prairie School movement of architecture and developed the concept of the Usonian home, his unique vision for urban planning in the United States. His work includes original and innovative examples of many different building types, including offices, churches, schools, skyscrapers, hotels, and museums. Wright also designed many of the interior elements of his buildings, such as the furniture and stained glass. Wright authored 20 books and many articles and was a popular lecturer in the United States and in Europe. His colorful personal life often made headlines, most notably for the 1914 fire and murders at his Tellison studio. Already known during his lifetime, Wright was recognized in 1991 by the American Institute of Architects as the greatest American architect of all time. And now for the quote from Frank Lloyd Wright, and it's a short one. I believe in God. Only, I spell it, nature.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.